I mentioned in a previous podcast about how Christianity is the real deal, that there has been somewhat of a seismic shift in biblical studies since the 19th century, beginning with liberally minded Protestant scholars. The field became dominated by those who sought a more scientific, for lack of a better term, interpretation of the scriptures, looking at it as one might look at any literary work. This method became known as the historical critical method. Now, this approach has some value, but not absolute value. And when I was studying theology, it was widely held to have absolute value. One aspect of this approach, for example, is the demythologization of the scriptures, which seeks to strip the biblical text of the alleged mythological form of its historical construction, to get at the real existential truths found there for human beings, and thus make the scriptures more acceptable to modern man. This approach is often associated with Rudolf Bultmann, but one can trace its roots back to the time of the Enlightenment. One consequence of this demythologization is that the devil is no longer seen as a personal reality, a fallen angel stirring up rebellion, menacing the world, and tempting human beings to fall and lose their souls, but has been reduced to a symbol for the reality of evil, or for a spirit of division or defragmentation in the world, or represents the personification of the evil found in different social structures. In the mind of so-called progressive theologians, and since they have ruled almost every theology department, even in self-professed Catholic universities since the mid-20th century, in the minds of pretty much everyone who took a college-level intro to the Bible course, the belief that the devil is a personal reality is medieval, naive, unenlightened, and superstitious. And it seems that they revel in their self-appointed role as myth-busters. Well, are they right? Is the devil real or just a myth or symbol? I'm Dr. David Heiduck, and here's my take.
Are you looking for a comfortable brown scapular that won't break? Check out our sponsor, Scapulars.com. They use American-made paracord, so it's super strong, and they also use Australian merino wool, so it's super comfortable. It feels like you're getting a warm hug from your heavenly mother. Click on the link above or below in the description and get yourself the most durable, comfortable scapulars in the world.
And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast and give us a 5-star rating. I want to approach this question from a few angles. First, I would like to discuss the church's constant teaching about the existence of angels and, because demons are fallen angels, of demons. Second, I would like to focus on Jesus's own interactions with and statements about the devil and the demonic. Then in conclusion, I will share some brief thoughts about the experience of exorcists, those priests who have been specifically trained and appointed by their bishop to deal with demonic infestation, obsession, oppression, and possession. It says in the Nicene Constantinopolitan Creed that God is the creator of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible. To what does this refer? The Catechism of the Catholic Church explains, the scriptural expression heaven and earth means all that exists, creation in its entirety. It also indicates the bond deep within creation that both unites heaven and earth and distinguishes the one from the other. The earth is the world of men, while heaven, or the heavens, can designate both the firmament and God's own place, our Father in heaven. Finally, heaven refers to the saints and the place of the spiritual creatures, the angels, who surround God. The profession of faith of the Fourth Lateran Council affirms that God, from the beginning of time, made at once out of nothing both orders of creatures, the spiritual and the corporeal, that is, the angelic and the earthly, and then the human creature, who, as it were, shares in both orders, being composed of spirit and body. Then the Catechism states plainly, the existence of spiritual, non-corporeal beings that sacred scriptures usually calls angels is a truth of faith. The witness of scripture is as clear as is the unanimity of tradition. A truth of faith means de fide, or a belief that is divinely revealed, and must be held by all Catholics. To deny it would be heresy. The Catechism goes on to say that angels have intelligence and will. They are personal and immortal creatures, surpassing in perfection all visible creatures. Angels are personal because they have intellects and wills. That is, they are rational creatures. The compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which summarizes the Catechism in a question and answer format, sums up the Church's teaching about angels. The angels are purely spiritual creatures, incorporeal, invisible, immortal, and personal beings endowed with intelligence and will. They ceaselessly contemplate God face to face, and they glorify Him. They serve Him and are His messengers in the accomplishment of His saving mission to all. Okay, so that's angels. But what about the devil or demons? The Catechism teaches. The Church teaches that Satan was at first a good angel made by God. The devil and the other demons were indeed created naturally good by God, but they became evil by their own doing. Scripture speaks of a sin of these angels. This fall consists in the free choice of these created spirits who radically and irrevocably rejected God and His reign. It is the irrevocable character of their choice, and not a defect in the infinite divine mercy, that makes the angel's sin unforgivable. There is no repentance for the angels after their fall, just as there is no repentance for men after death. The Roman Catechism, which is the catechism developed after the Council of Trent, states that the devil and the other rebel angels were gifted from the beginning of their creation with grace, clearly follows from these words of sacred scriptures. He, the devil, stood not in the truth. Although the angels were endowed with celestial gifts, very many, having rebelled against God, their Father and Creator, were hurled from those high mansions of bliss and shut up in the darkest dungeon of earth, there to suffer for eternity the punishment of their pride. Speaking of them, the Prince of the Apostles says, God spared not the angels that sinned, but delivered them, drawn by infernal ropes to the lower hell, unto torments to be reserved unto judgment. And while the current catechism makes clear that Satan is behind the fall of man, the Roman Catechism expounds on our spiritual adversaries. And besides the assaults of the flesh and human frailty, these enemies that dwell and live within us, there are, moreover, those most bitter foes of whom it is written, our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in the high places. For to our inward conflicts are added the external assaults and attacks of the demons, who both assail us openly and also insinuate themselves by stratagem into our souls, so much so that it is only with great difficulty that we can escape them. The power of these enemies is great, their courage undaunted, their hatred of us enormous and unmeasured, that they also wage against us a perpetual war, so that with them there can be no peace, no truce. How great their audacity is evidenced by the words of Satan, recorded by the prophet, I will ascend into heaven. He attacked our first parents in paradise. He assailed the prophets. He beset the apostles in order, as the Lord says in the gospel, that he might sift them as wheat. Nor was he abashed even by the presence of Christ the Lord himself. His insatiable desire and unwearied diligence St. Peter therefore expressed when he said, "Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion goeth about, seeking whom he may devour." It should be clear that the constant teaching of the church, founded on scripture, tradition, and the teachings of the magisterium, is that the devil and demons are not myths or symbols, but are actually angels that have fallen, created spirits endowed with intelligence and freedom, and thus personal, and that they are at war with God and with us. But does Jesus himself mention the devil and demons? And what are the necessary consequences of him doing so? First, let's hear more about the sponsor for this episode.
The Brown Scapular is a special Catholic devotional. Invest in a scapular that is as strong as your devotion. At scapulars.com, they use super strong American-made paracord because your scapular should be as strong as your devotion. They also use the finest Australian Merino wool that feels like a warm hug from your Heavenly Mother. You'll also find handmade rosaries with our distinctive Deliverance Cross, Italian-made saint medals, keychains, and jewelry. Visit the link above or below in the description to get yourself one of the most durable, comfortable scapulars in the world. Thanks so much for joining us for another episode of A Reason for Hope podcast. If you haven't already done so, please like, share, follow, and subscribe. Now back to the episode.
Jesus clearly speaks of the devil and engages with demons in his public ministry. In his parable of the sower and the seed, he mentions how Satan snatches the seed before it can take root. In the parable of the wheat and the chaff, Jesus identifies the enemy as the evil one, or the devil. He is driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and answers the devil directly regarding the temptations, quoting scripture back at him. Jesus performs exorcisms as a routine part of his saving ministry. The scriptures say plainly that they brought to him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. After healing a man possessed by a devil that made him blind and dumb, the Pharisees said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out devils by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Additionally, Jesus expels 7 devils from St. Mary Magdalene. He heals the Gerasene demoniac and casts out a devil from the man who entered the synagogue. And the demons speak with Jesus. In the case of the Gerasene demoniac, Jesus asks for the demon's name, which is Legion, indicating that there were actually 6,000 demons in him. Jesus calls Satan the prince or ruler of this world that he has come to cast out. He exclaims that Satan was a murderer from the beginning and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. To those who rejected him, Jesus said, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires." In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." The word translated evil is actually most accurately rendered evil one, or Satan. When Jesus speaks about his coming at the last judgment, he says that he will come with all his angels, and that to those on his left, the reprobate, he will say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels." And Jesus told the disciples that he saw Satan like lightning falling from heaven. This sounds a lot like other passages in divine revelation, like in Isaiah, Ezekiel, and the Apocalypse. Why go through these passages? Because Jesus clearly believed that Satan and demons were real, fallen, spiritual creatures and personal beings endowed with intelligence and will. He even has conversations with them and rebukes them. Well, if the demythologizers are correct, then I'd say we'd have good reason not to believe that Jesus is the Son of God here. In fact, not only would Jesus be teaching that there are beings that do not exist, but he would actually be talking to beings that aren't really there. At best, this would make him delusional and crazy. At worst, a liar or plain wrong. In either case, not God, who is truth itself and can neither deceive nor be deceived. But of course, Jesus is truth itself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we can believe him that the devil and demons really do exist. His ministry fundamentally involved engaging these spiritual adversaries and winning victory in the battle with them. This same ministry has been entrusted to his church. And this leads me to my final point. If you were to listen to the testimonies of exorcists, those priests who have been specifically trained and appointed by their bishop to deal with demonic infestation, obsession, oppression, and possession, you would find it very difficult not to believe in the reality of the devil and demons. These men follow a very strict protocol that includes psychological evaluations and having a psychologist on their support teams. And there are things they have experienced that have no natural explanation. If you were to see people levitate, or things start flying around the room, or the temperature in the room suddenly going from extremely hot to extremely cold, or the person possessed speaking in languages they never learned, or displaying knowledge they couldn't possibly have, I think you might become a believer in the devil. We've interviewed a number of exorcists here on A Reason for Hope, like Father Carlos Martins, Father Vincent Lampert, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti, and our dear friend, Father Glenn Sudano. Be sure to check out these interviews. I think you will be sufficiently swayed if you are at all on the fence. One thing is for sure, though. You won't demythologize the Bible on this one. Well, that's my take. Come back next time when we will tackle a new issue. Until then, run the race, fight the good fight, and keep the faith.